I just wrote down as Alistair was speaking, saying there is a danger upon those who set themselves against God or against the Word of God. Is disastrous and is not wise. And I think that is the matter we are looking at tonight. And it's so clear to us, it's clear to us that it's not a pathway for those who have been called to know God. Those who have been called into this covenant to walk before God. So as it was with the people of Israel back in the past, they were covenanted people of God and they were called to obey. You see, and whenever there was disobedience, God moved swiftly and addressed the issue. And we have seen this in the life of Ahab. Ahab is a man who knows a lot about the God of Israel. He knows a lot about him. He knows it's a theocracy. The expectation is the kingship must come under the true king of Israel, the God of heaven and the earth. And he knew that. And he knew that they were not as strong, even like today. But God was fighting their battles. God was establishing them. God was with them. And whenever they want to go against God, God will open them up. We have seen this again and again. Well, we have seen the danger. So here, Ben-Hadad, he was at war with the Arameans. And we have seen how God really defeated the Arameans for their blessings. And then the requirement in chapter 20, I'm picking from verse 30. When they defeated these people, even those who were spared, they ran into the city. The rest of them escaped to the city of Aphek, where the wall collapsed on 27,000 of them. God's judgment was coming upon those who were raising up themselves against God's people. Do we pray for protection ourselves? Does God protect us? So at what point God will open us up into a lot of troubles? Well, let me do a bit of theology so that we are clear in our minds. Because we can do everything perfect before God. We can be really faithful at every point, and still bad things can happen to God, to us. It's biblical too. On the other hand, if we choose to go against God, against his word and in disobedience, he will move also and will allow bad things to happen to us too. Why I'm saying this? Because there is a confusion even in the church. People would think that, oh, why bad things are happening to me when I'm doing everything right? Yeah, we need to do that. We need to think that way. Well, you have heard me preaching, reading Psalm 40 earlier. I waited upon the Lord, isn't it? You see, but if you choose not to wait on the Lord, and you choose to go like your way, you legislate for yourself, well, the results will be disastrous, isn't it? The results will be amazingly not in your favor. Well, now, what happened? These people were meant to be destroyed because they were enemies of God's people. And so now, Ben-Hadad, the head of the army, the man who was just boasting earlier, you see, that is the nature of sin, of Satan. He would just boast and boast. He never knows that we have a mighty God who can crush him. Because that was what was happening. The Israelites were too small. In chapter 20, verse 27, the Israelite camped opposite Ben-Hadad and all his armies. they opposite them like two small flocks of goats. Is that how you have been feeling? Like two is small and you have nuances to many things? you see, and you don't know where to go and what is the next steps. But do you have faith? That is a challenging part of the thing, of the equation. It's not the hugeness of, if I might say, the hugeness of problems. It's about your trust in your God. You see? And so when these people really stood their ground, while the Arameans covered the countryside, they covered many people, multitude, and God triumphs. Because the Lord God, he was just like challenging Ahab, and he said, look, I will help so that you know I am God. I am the Lord God. So now, Ahab, really, in his forgetfulness, he forgot that he was not to spare the life of Ben-Hadad. See? So that is what I think we heard this earlier also, I think when Alistair was speaking, like, or we may think like the problem is the government is bad and so forth, and then we can go along with that. You see? And instead of thinking that, we have been called to pray and God can change the government and can change all these things. So it's just exactly this man. Maybe he is just flowing with the way they make treaties. He wanted to spare the life of this man that God has judged to die. That is it. You have set free a man I had determined should die. God had determined this man to die. And who are you to go against what God has determined? And that is, I think, the whole issue. We go against what God has determined, even if it is obvious, simply because we want to go on with what seems to be the right course of action. In terms of our modernity, and we live in an advanced world and first century, it's just like that. So some people may think, well, the people of the Philistines are suffering and it's so hard, and so the best thing to do is just to go against Israel. See? Forgetting what God has said in his word. Should we go with how we see things, or we should go as the word of God says? Even if it looks like it's going to be against you. Because obviously Ben-Hadad was going to benefit from the treaty, isn't it? He was going to make treaty, and he's going to make some real advancement in business, isn't it? That is what is going to happen. Let me read it, because it's not a long story. It will finish in 15 minutes, hopefully. So now they started really to resort to the flesh. This is what they said. His people said to him, his officials of Ben-Hadad, his officials said to him, look, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful. They have heard. But they didn't know. But how about if what they heard was not true? If the kings of Israel were faithful to do what God wanted them to do? That was going to be a disaster, isn't it? So let us go to the king of Israel with sackcloth around our waist and robes around our heads. Perhaps he will spare your life. You see, now he's just fighting for his life, this guy. And the other guy also is fighting for financial gains. That is what he's going to do now. Wearing sackcloth around their waist, and the people who were supposed to defeat Israel, now they are going to be subject to Israel. And so, in sackcloth around them, they went to the king of Israel and said, your servant, Ben-Hadad says, your servant, the man who was demanding the wives and the children of this man, now he is calling this man his superior. We are your servant. I'm now subject to you. And of course, because of God, isn't it? Because of God. It's not because Ahab was a godly man or was a great man. No. So the king answered, is he still alive? We don't know why he said that. He is my brother. You see, Who said that? He's your brother. He's not your brother. He was your enemy, and he's the enemy of God. The men took this as a good sign and were quick to pick up his word. Yes, your brother Ben-Hadad, they said, go and get him, the king said. So now this man is going to do this. So what happens? And then he started to negotiate in verse 34. I will return the cities. My father took this. These are royal families, isn't it? So this boy is coming from a royal family. His father, in the past, they subjected the Israelites to them, and now he's saying, I will return the cities my fathers took from your father, Ben-Hadad, offered. You may set up your own market areas in Damascus as my father did in Samaria. So this is a very attractive offer, isn't it? And now Ahab, who has no heart for God, is going to grab this, you see, with no reference to God. He didn't see God. He just went on with his plans, and he wanted to go ahead with it. Will God overlook that? No. God will not accept that. So now, Ahab said, on the basis of a treaty, I will set you free. Now he is setting him free on what? On the basis of a treaty that he himself is making with this man. Not on the basis of the word of God, not on the basis of the will of God, not of what really brings glory to God. You see, so now here, you see, God doesn't want to entertain sin of any kind. He doesn't want to entertain any unbelief to be associated with his worship. You see, you cannot believe in God and believe in the flesh of man. You believe totally in his mercy, in his grace. You believe his word and his provision and his leading and his guidance. Or if you choose to do things your own way, you will face a lot of troubles. And that is what is really the Lord is teaching us. And things have not changed. And I will just refer to this in the New Testament. You see? So the unbelief and going against the word of God. Now this is my favorite part, actually. Verse 35. That is what has gone is driving us to. Hear the judgment of God. By the word of the Lord, one of the sons of the prophet said to his companion, strike me with your weapon. But the man refused. You see, here, by the word of God, and God now is going to use his servants to judge Ahab. God now is going to use his servant to judge Ahab. To use them in what ways? They are going to act out the judgment of God. This is the danger of the call of God here, brothers and sisters. So this man, God said, this man has to be wounded, this prophet. To incarnate the judgment of God, this is how serious it is going against God. God will move to punish those who have disobeyed them, and also even his servant, the instruments he is going to use, they are going also to suffer. That is why the call of God is dangerous. It's so dangerous. We have seen this. It's a privilege and it's a dangerous thing to do. It's very dangerous. This man, by the word of God, God said, actually he is going to be wounded. So that he can go and face Ahab. This is how serious it is to go against God. Even will take the life of a prophet. So it's a serious thing to be an instrument in the hand of God. And we have seen even the apostles themselves. They said this. They were the target, the first target. Most of whom were crucified, were chopped head. They were just killed. You see, the Christians were driven out of the city. And they were holding fast into proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many Christians that have been killed around the world, churches burned down, dying in thousands, just holding fast to the confession they had. And so it's just like this prophet. He asked this guy, another one, and then this guy, he says, strike me with your weapons. But the man refused. So now even this person who refused to strike this prophet, this prophet also is pronouncing judgment against him. So that we learn going against God's will and word is so dangerous. It's so dangerous. I have this sense always. I say to people, when God sent me and just I minister to someone and somehow they know the blessings of God, they'll say, oh, how great you are, or something like that. I say, no, I'm not the most important person in the equation. You are the most important person, because God cares for you and he would send his servant to speak to you. I am out of the equation because I am like these two prophets and you are like them, isn't it? To wound or to be wounded. If you reject, you are going to be killed in a way. So that we are locked in obedience. We are to obey. So now, this man, Ahab, he did the wrong thing. Calculating humility. He's just thinking he was a humble person. He had lack of gratitude to even like the victory he had experienced. He didn't really care about God. He did not acknowledge the victories that God gave him. In his states, he called this person my brother, and also he just made a treaty, and then now people are really dying on his account, you see? So now the other guy, he was pronounced to be killed by lion. So the prophet said, because you have not obeyed the Lord, as soon as you leave me, a lion will kill you. We had that in chapter 13, isn't it? That all the prophets also, he was told not to eat on his way, and then he disobeyed, and also he was devoured by lion. So it's a serious thing to disobey the Lord when we have this knowledge. So things will not end at the arrangement that this man has done. Even he thought he was so clever making these treaties, but actually this business was going to be really nothing. So the supremacy of the word of God here is so clear. God is moving swiftly to judge and to pronounce it against Ahab by the prophets. Because this is based on the word of God. As I said, this is just an incredible thing. If this is ringing bell to you, who is the man of God who represented us? Because we have the tendency to refuse the word of God. So we need someone really to be wounded like this prophet in our own place, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bible says, he was pierced for our transgressions. Because obviously even Ahab now is judged, but he's not going to die straight away. So we have Jesus here. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Even sins, really. The wage of sin is death, isn't it? The wage of sin or the wages of sin is death. And so that is why we have in the Old Testament, people are dying who are just like really disobeying. And now for us not to die in our new covenant, Jesus had to bear our sins. Jesus had to be pierced for our transgression. He had to be crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace with God was upon him. See? So that we could be healed. We could be free. And so we see this man of God, he was stricken. Now what happens? And now in disguise, he wants to go and present himself to Ahab And so he hit himself, and then he came and he said this. As the prophets found another man and said, "Strike me, please." So the man struck him and wounded him. Then the prophets went and stood by the road waiting for the king. He disguised himself with his headband down over his eyes. As the king passed by, the prophet called out to him, "Your servant went into the thick of the battle, and someone came to me with a captive and said, 'Guard this man. If he is missing, it will be your life for his life. For you must pay talent or silver.' While your servant was busy here and there, the man disappeared." "That is your sentence," the king of Israel said. He didn't know that was him. "You have pronounced it yourself." While he was busy making treaties, so he let go of man he should not have let go. And then the prophet said, "You have set free a man I had determined should die. Therefore, it is your life for his life, your people for his people." So we see how dangerous sin is. It's not only will bring disaster to ourselves, even the people we represent, the people that we are leading. And here, this man, he was angry. And instead of repenting, he was independent. So Ahab refusing to kill Ben-Hadad brought disaster on himself and the people. He failed like the first prophet who failed to kill the other prophet. So, you know, Nathan went to David and he said to him, "You are the man." The same thing. So now this man is furious with the prophets, resentful of the word of God, and had no intention of changing his mind. That could be our attitude sometimes. But the Lord is wanting us really to take these 2 points I'm saying to you, to take them home. The word of God is serious. To violate it is to destroy those who oppose it. Anyone who will oppose the word of God is subjecting himself to destruction. We need to think seriously about how the word of God is authoritative, not only on the church, but also on nations around us. Today, the world in which we live is not just like they are doing what they do without God to move and judge. Certainly, God is going to judge. And that should strengthen our determination to obey our God, isn't it? At this knowledge. So here we see, if we think the people of the past times, they were not faithful to God, and they didn't, even though they saw a lot of miracles, even in Jesus' days, they were, after Jesus performing a lot of miracles in John 12, people also went against what Jesus was doing. Jesus demonstrated the power of God, and yet they continue in unbelief. And now we see the judgment. God didn't just want to judge Ahab just in vain. God judged him because he went against the word of God. And exactly, Jesus is saying, even his people, really, he is not judging them. There's just the word of God itself will judge them because they didn't hear. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. You see? Like Ahab, he loved the praises of men, the men of Jesus' times. They loved the praise of men. That is chapter 12, verse 43. They loved praise of men, from men, more than praise from God. You see, so these are the situations where we go against God. Because when we think too much about people and not think too much about God. And so the warning in these two readings is for us to have a high view of the word of God for our confession and for our practice. And whenever you come, even in your devotion in the morning, whenever you come across a word that demands obedience, you are to do that. When you hear the word of God in your prayers and leading you to certain directions, you are to obey the word of God. So, and I know God will not lead us into bad places. So, or even to do things that are not honoring in His sight. He will always, if there is anything like that, is not of God. Because God is faithful. He wants us not to be judged. Because that is what obviously He said. Jesus cried out, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he serves the one, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the persons who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. That is a way. And for us, and we are to learn from Ahab that we, when we are faced with situations, to make some arrangements really that are not based on the word of God, we are to be careful because we are acting like Ahab in many ways. But when we seek to honor God in His word, He will open up His own way. You see, because even in previous verses, there was a conversation, really. Ahab did the right thing. He consulted the elders and the people of Israel. He was persuaded not to fall into unbelief and not to disobey God. Our God is still engaging with us. Our God will move and help us. Don't seek help somewhere else. Don't do anything ridiculous. Don't just go on in these treaties and subject yourself to this powerful man. God is going to come. Now why he want to go against this very God who has helped him? You see, if God had helped him in the past, will he not help him now? And not will he help him forever? And so our God is faithful. Our God is a loving God. And He wants us to experience His power and His grace more and more. Even if you think the victories of today are great, even the victories of tomorrow are even greater. If you think the blessings of today are good, even the blessings of tomorrow are greater. If you think being a Christian here is great, yes, it's great, but it will be even greater when we come before that day. But if we forfeit this greatness with just the small things of this world that are temporal, and then we lost sight of walking with our God. It doesn't matter if you're a small number or two or three or four. Faithfulness is what is required, really, of us. Because when we think of the love of Christ and what He has done for us and how He has brought us out in darkness, that is what He said. Whoever believes in, I came so that you do not continue to walk in darkness. You see, I came so that you will be free. That is John. Isn't it? John 12, that is what he's saying. He came so that we don't continue walking in darkness. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And staying in darkness is so dangerous. You see? So as we continue delighting in Him and waiting on Him patiently, for whatever matters you are facing, just trust God and put Him first. And He will deal with everything. There's nothing that is too hard for Him. But what stands against us is we want to make treaties. Is we want to devise our own solution for our own problems. That is the issue. And then we lose sight of His leading. We lose sight of His provision. We lose sight of His winsome presence in our lives. Even we lose the opportunity to be fruitful, you see. So in chapter 15, he talks about pruning, isn't it? If we abide in Him, He will prune us. And pruning is not something good, isn't it? Farmers can tell us. There's a lot of cutting, isn't it? There's a lot of work there. Even sometimes, like part that we think are good, you see, can be cut out if they hinder, really, the fruitfulness. See? That is what pruning is. Well, but I just enjoy looking at these two prophets who were wounding themselves. And I know God has called us. One thing I want to leave with you. Please, if God has called you to bear something, bear it for His glory. bear it for his glory. This prophet, he was wounded acting out the word of God. Let us not run away when we are being wounded by God so that God might be glorified. It is a privilege to be called. You see, Moses was a friend with God, isn't it? He was denied promised land because he disobeyed God at Mount Pisgah. Oh, how I wish I am in Africa today so that I can just go on preaching until 9 p.m. But I can't do that. But let us trust the Lord God. Whenever he is wounding us, he is healing us. Because after all, it doesn't matter whether we are wounded or not. So what matters is we have obeyed the Lord. So that is what I see in this text. Disobeying the Lord is disastrous. And we all need grace in this, isn't it? We can all come under pressure and we fail. To love people, we will fail. To humble ourselves, we will fail. To trust God for our needs, we will fail. To trust God for even grace to trust to help other people. So may the Lord give us grace even tonight to think that the call of God is serious, and when whatever he is calling you to bear it, face it, like this man in the academic dean of the Westminster Theological Seminary. He said when he was playing basketball, and he said like he would, if you are coming with the basketball and someone is facing you who is like, maybe you are just like only 60 kilogram, and then the person is 120, he said like, and he is coming against you, you have to go through him. You see, you have to face him. It's just like that. If the word of God is so tough, like, let us face the word of God. Let us not run away from the word of God. Because as we embrace the word of God, we will be healed. We will be whole. Yeah, let us sing together.